Tomorrow is Tanit Esther, so it's appropriate that we should consider some of the pertinent halachot. We've dealt with some of the dinim of a Tanit Sibyl previously, and most of those rules apply equally to Tanit Esther, but there are also certain aspects of the fast which are unique, and I want to address them today. So Tanit Esther is actually unique amongst the statutory fast days, in that it's neither in Tanakh nor in the Gemara, and it's certainly got nothing to do with the fast days that Esther and Mordechai proclaimed in the Purim story, because they took place in Nisan at the beginning of Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah explains that the battle in Persia was waged on Yud Gimel Adar, and we can assume that at a time like that, when their lives and survival hung in the balance, that the Jews must have fasted. Why do we make such an assumption? Because when Bnei Yisrael fought against Amalek, Moshe sat on the mountain and prayed, and we can assume that he also fasted. So because we assume that Moshe fasted, we assume that Mordechai and Esther fasted, and the Jews of Persia fasted, so we also fast. And the fact that Tanit Esther is based only on these assumptions leads to certain halachic leniencies. Not only is it a minor fast, but it's the most minor of the minor fasts. And the Rama says that people who are unwell and pregnant and nursing women and even people with bad headaches don't need to fast. The Mishnah Berurah brings two views about the exemption for pregnant women. According to the Yeshua Yaakov, all pregnant women are exempt from fasting on Tanit Esther, whereas according to the Eliyahu Rabbah, the default position is that a pregnant woman should fast unless she finds it difficult to do so. And the Aruch HaShulchan rules leniently on this point, and certainly I think the minhag is to be lenient. The Mishnah Berurah also cites a machloket about the Rama's comment that those who don't fast on Tanit Esther should make it up at a later date. The Yeshua Yaakov holds that this only applies to the Koavei Naim, the people with the headaches who really should be fasting but have opted out, whereas the Bach maintains this applies even to pregnant women, and certainly we don't follow the Bach in that regard. There's also a discussion about a Baal Brit on Tanit Esther. That's the father, the moel, or the sandaker to Brit. Obviously, the mother doesn't have to fast because she's just given birth. The Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar HaTzion brings the view of the Gra that a Baal Brit doesn't fast the entire day on any of the minor fasts. But he says that we follow the view of the Ritva, that the private simcha of the Baalei Brit doesn't supersede the communal avelut of the fast day. However, the Mishnah Berurah's conclusion is that Tanit Esther is more lenient than the other fast days, and that Baalei Brit don't need to fast beyond midday, and in actual fact, perhaps they don't even need to fast at all. Another question that's come up many times in the past, though not this year for fairly obvious reasons, is what about a Chatan and Kala during their week of Sheva Brachot? If they got married a couple of days before Purim, so Tanit Esther falls in the week of Sheva Brachot, do they have to fast? So as far as the other minor fasts are concerned, we say that they do have to fast. But there's actually a machloket in the Achronim about Tanit Esther. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach say they don't need to fast. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that they should fast, and apparently Reb Chaim Kanievsky also paskens like that. And Rav Eliyashiv said they should fast half a day. I've always advised couples in Sheva Brachot they don't need to fast on Tanit Esther in accordance with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's also worth noting that Rav Soloveitchik held that Tanit Esther is different to the other fast days, not just in terms of its origins and importance, but also in terms of its very nature. He maintained that Tanit Esther isn't just the day before Purim, but it's actually an intrinsic part of the celebration of Purim. Number one, Megillat Esther is about both Zaka, crying out to Hashem, and also Simcha, the rejoicing. And both aspects need to be commemorated. So on Tanit Esther, we commemorate the Zaka, the crying out to Hashem. And on Purim, we commemorate the Simcha. And number two, he says that Tanit Esther reenacts the sense of desperation that the Jews of Persia must have felt at the time of the Purim story. On the one day, their very survival hung in the balance. On the next day, they were celebrating their victory. On Yud Gimel Adar, they must have felt desperate. And on Yud Daled, they were elated. And that sense of elation was intensified by the desperation of the previous day. So by fasting on the 13th of Adar and celebrating on the 14th, we create the contrast that existed at the time of the Purim miracle. Ad Kan.